Hallelujah. I was in trouble when my wife started going to church. Not just going to church, but she got plugged into a church that was red hot, on fire for Jesus. And then they started praying for me. Man, they were messing my life up. In a good way. Yep. Never going back again. Never going back. Can't go back. It's dead. It's death. I walk in life now. Amen. What I once thought was life was actually death. There are many who are walking in death and think they're walking in life until the Lord opens the eyes and we begin to recognize life. What life really is, and it's not an activity. Life is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So it's not just, you know, party and hardy, you know, going to Six Flags or just going to some type of temporary entertainment. You know, not that that's necessarily sinful. You know what? We've just found something so much better that if we don't get to go to Six Flags, but we get to be with Jesus, hey, there's just no comparison. In our youth culture, you know, so much of it had been wrapped around, you know, entertainment, and so that in some ways a lot of the young people just think that, you know, it's all about the entertainment aspect and you know, just going and having a good time. And what's happened is in some cases we have actually shut the door to them understanding that the greatest, highest pleasure of all, the ultimate in ecstasy, the ultimate of joy and peace and love, is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you encounter the living God and have a divine encounter with Him, the lesser things are like, take it or leave it. Yeah, we can go. Yeah, I was going to hang out. But you know what? The things that I used to find pleasure in, I don't anymore. I have found the ultimate pleasure is in God. Not in religion. See, that's what's ruined so many people. I went to a church one time before. I was searching, you know. And I went to some religious churches and found out that that's not what I was looking for. I was looking for life. Hello. Not some dead ritual. Not some hocus pocus either. But the living God, the reality. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. And no one throws a party like Jesus. Woo! He's got the best wine. And lots of it. It's flowing in the house of God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Well, how many of you today are totally committed to the way forward? That's just been kind of going through, you know. Totally committed to the way forward. We are a pilgrim people. We are on a journey. We were going forward. We were pressing in. Amen? And we're pressing towards God. We're looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God. We are not here to settle, but we are campers. And happy campers, I might add. Happy campers. When you're camping with Jesus, it's happy. There is joy unspeakable and full of glory in the presence of the Lord. And we've been given an invitation to come into His presence because Jesus paved the way through the blood of His cross. Amen? Through the cross, and it's at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I understand. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. You know, a lot of people just, I once was lost, but now I'm found. You know, they don't understand. But folks, I understand that song, and I know you do too. Many of you do. You understand what it is to be blind and then have your sight restored by the Lord. And God is not willing that anyone should perish. God is in the business of opening our eyes. It's the light that brings revelation. It's the truth of the Word of God that brings revelation, that opens our understanding to what is really real versus that which we thought was real, that which was deception. And when we see the truth and we know the truth and we come to know Him who is truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And the truth will keep you free. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Begin with verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. Now, in regard to these, verse 4, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. I once was doing the same thing. I thought, how can these guys be having a good time? Verse 5, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now there's several views of this particular verse right here, but I like to look at it this way. This is the way I understand it, that once you were dead in trespasses and sins, the gospel basically is a word, amen, for those who walk in death. We were once dead and alienated from the life that is in God. Until the light of the revelation of the truth came to us. And God revealed Himself to us as life. And we then made the decision that I'm going to transition out of death into life. Now I know that there's other scriptures that speak of Jesus going into the lower realms, the lower parts, and preaching to those, declaring or decreeing really to them that He is overcome. Jesus descended into the lowest places of hell after He had died, remember? And He rose again victorious with having what? The keys of death and hell. Amen? But He has overcome the world. And He's been given the name that is above every name. But the truth brings revelation, brings light, brings life. Once we were dead, now we have come to life in Christ. For this reason, the gospel was preached, in verse 6. But the end of all things, verse 7, is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Verse 1 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. When you and I are ready to meet with persecution, with trials, when we are in a place where we are ready to die, we will answer the call of God in sincerity. When we are willing to face persecution, trial, and possibly even death, and we have made up our minds, we have repented, and we have turned fully to Christ, we are totally committed to the way forward now. There's no looking back. There's only death. There's life ahead. For me to live and is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. When we come to a place where we are ready to die, I want you to hear this. Then we are ready in sincerity to receive the call of God on our lives. How many have witnessed the passing away of a loved one or someone close to you? Maybe been at the hospital or the bedside of someone passing away. And often that is a good time, would you agree, to start considering the condition of my soul? Am I right with God? And people begin to get very serious about this thing called death and what's going to happen afterwards. And so many will say that I'm ready to die. I'm ready to go. How many have ever heard that? Someone say, I'm ready to go. Folks, let me just say this today. Don't wait until your deathbed.
Amen.
If you want to live, you must die. If you want to live with Christ here and now and receive an abundant welcome into heaven, you must be willing to say, I am ready to die. Not only am I ready to die, but I am going to die to the world. When we say the world, we're not talking about the earth. How many know what I'm talking about? That word world means cosmos. It is that system that is in opposition to what God has established, to what God has said. It opposes what God says is true. The cosmos. We are not of the world. Jesus said, I am not of this sin-sick world system that has come under the sway of the evil one. But when we come to Christ, we are delivered out of that system and we are now citizens of heaven. We are citizens of God's kingdom. And now we are children of the Most High God and we are royalty. Because we are members of the household of God. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Once we were in death, but now we have entered into life. And if you want to see life, you must die to yourself. You must die to your agenda. I'm just going to lay it out straight today.
Amen.
Because everything I'm saying is straight out of the Word of God.
Amen.
If Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. Jesus didn't come with His own agenda, folks. Jesus came with a resolve that I'm here to do the will of my Father and to complete the work that He gave me to do. And then when He had departed and left these instructions with His disciples, what did He say? He says, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. And then He said, now go and teach everyone, everywhere, to observe the same things I taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Hallelujah!
Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Folks, God God's not looking for superstars. He's looking for servants. Amen? But more than that, He's looking for children. He wants to redeem mankind back into right standing with Him, where once again we can bear the family name. We're Christians, followers of Christ. Followers of Jesus. Joint heirs to the throne. Are you ready? Are we ready to meet whatever may come our way because we have totally committed ourselves to the way forward, to follow Christ? I have decided. There's nothing but death behind. There's life ahead. As long as I keep my eyes on the prize, I'm looking at You, Jesus. And Jesus said, come on, son, come on. You're doing good. You're doing good. Just wait till you see what I got for you. Oh, you may suffer now. You may suffer loss or lack now, but wait till you see what I got for you. You share in My sufferings, you're going to reign with Me. Prepare yourself. Arm yourself with the same mind. Be prepared no matter what. If you've already resolved that even if it means death, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to look back. I'm going to follow Jesus. When you come to the place where you're done with your way, then you can follow His way. And His way is everlasting life.
Amen.
You got to step over the chicken line. You got to step across that threshold and say, God, here it is. The Lord says, man, you're a mess. I'm going to fix you up. You come in. You're welcome. You're absolutely right. Don't come to God and say, God, look how good I am. Can't help those kind of people, right? We come to God and say, God, I offer You my life. I just offer You my life. You gave it to me in the beginning, and I'm giving it back to You. How many know that God can take care of whatever He has? If He truly possesses your soul, if you truly have entrusted your soul to Christ, God knows how to take care of you. God knows how to provide for you. He knows how to protect you. He knows how to give you joy and peace. He knows how to provide, amen, a way where there doesn't seem to be any way. Your Father has it all. If you're a child of God, guess what? You're an heir to the throne. That means everything you look around and you see, your Father owns already. And if I'm an heir, if I'm a child of His, guess what? I'm also an owner. I don't have to chase after stuff. All right? We're not on a pursuit. This ain't about money, folks.
No.
We don't have to preach that thing. Amen? What we need to do is pursue God, seek Him first and His kingdom, and He'll take care of our needs. But the fact of the matter is whether you're ever rich in this life or not, you can have a treasure in the heaven. Amen? And so we're going to live for that which will be. And often God will bless you in the here and now, so you can be a blessing to someone else. Not so we can keep up with Biff and Tad and the Joneses, you know. And sorry, Chuck. Not the same family. Different Jones. He who has suffered in the flesh, folks, I looked this up. It has a proverbial aspect. It means something like this. When a man is dead, he will sin no more. Isn't that what Paul said? I think it's Romans 6. He said, consider yourself indeed dead to sin. When a man is dead, he will sin no more. In other words, I'm dead to that life. I don't live in that life. I live a new life. I have transitioned from death unto life. I'm now a child of the King. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I'm keeping my eyes on Jesus. I'm walking with Him day by day. And as I walk with Him in fellowship, as I walk with Him with a heart of worship, then those things that I used to find pleasure in no longer have any pull on me. They no longer entice me. I don't, you know what? It wouldn't be a temptation if it wasn't tempting, right? And you know, we get tempted when we're drawn away by our own lusts. How does that happen? Because when we start to connect, we start to get weak spiritually. We don't pray like we should. We think that last Sunday's message is going to carry me through the week. And you find out by about mid-morning Monday. Man, the demons say, over here, boys, we got one. He don't have his armor on. Red light special. Galatians 2:20, Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. This is the mind. This is what we need to arm ourselves with. It's no longer I that live, but Christ now living in me. I live now according to the new rule, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Now, in a moral sense, when a Christian becomes dead to this world or crucified with Christ, he will no longer live to gratify the sin nature. How many have discovered that when you fully and totally submit yourself to Christ, amen, to the way forward, when you walk with Him, that you'll find His yoke is easy and His burden is light? You find that sin does not have power over you. The devil's a liar, and he will try to tell you that you can't have victory over that besetting sin. Come on. That's the biggest battle, the lie. Whether you're going to receive the lie or receive the truth. The Bible says that we are crucified with Christ. The Bible says I am to consider myself, I'm dead to sin. When you shift your thinking away from, I'm struggling, I'm trying, I'm working, you need to come into rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Those of you who are trying to live up to a standard that no one could ever live up to. Come to me. Enter into me. Enter into my heart. My grace is sufficient for you. His grace will sustain us. His grace is there, amen, for us. When you're tempted, call on the Lord. When you don't know what to do, call on the Lord. When you wake up in the morning, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, right? 2 Timothy 2:11 says this. This is a faithful saying. If we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. Colossians 2 and verse 20 says, therefore, if you died with Christ, past tense, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations, religion, commandments of men, performance-driven mentality? If you've died to the world, why are you just bound up by all these dues and all these regulations, most of them either imposed by yourself or by others on you? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body. So what? So we can boast. We can say, hey, look how righteous I am. I dress like they did in the 1800s. I drive around in a buggy. Come on. These people mean well, folks, but they're being deceived. Do you realize that the way people dressed in the 1800s was criticized by the people from the previous generation? What is it about the 1800s that makes it so righteous? How many know the world hasn't changed? It's the heart that needs to change. God's not impressed by the way we dress. Man, when you take a look at Jesus, you're going to say, wow, now He's dressed. Whoa. And we want to look like Him. Lord, I want to dress like You. I want to look like you. I want to be clothed like you. I want your righteousness, Lord. And he says, you can have it. Ask, and you shall receive. You come to the host and you ask for the garment that qualifies you for his presence, his righteousness that God gives as a gift. Not because I'm so good, but because he's good. Because God so loved the world. He knew that we couldn't save ourselves, so he sent Jesus to do what we couldn't do for ourselves, to save us. There needs to be such a union with Christ that his death on the cross secures the death of the believer to the world. How do we die to the world? Through our union in Christ. Through an abiding union, continuing to walk with Jesus. When you walk with life, you won't walk in death. When you're done with death, you're ready for life. That's why there are people who have false conversions. They got into trouble. Life got stinky. Say, God, oh, if you do this, I'll do that. We make deals with God. But you know what? It isn't, folks, until we are done with death that we're ready for life. When we have decided, I'm done with vain living. I'm done with my way. I'm ready to go Jesus' way now. And I have decided that I'm going to follow him. There's no turning back. I have made peace with God. I'm not waiting for the deathbed to make peace with God. I've made peace with God now. I've already decided that I'm ready to die. And if that means dying for the cause of Christ, so be it. I'm going to know that God's going to take care of you. Boy, an abundant welcome into heaven. Hallelujah. Our life is but a vapor. The days, the hours are quickly going by. God is looking for children who will serve him.
Yes.
To commit themselves fully to the cause of Christ. To make Jesus famous in the earth. To declare his kingdom. To reveal his word. Through you and through I. Are we done with death? Isn't that true that so often the reason why people don't get set free is because they're not really through yet? Isn't that right? They haven't really hit bottom yet. We're looking for a band-aid. And God says, no, you got to throw the whole thing out. I'm going to give you a brand new life. But you can't have the brand new life until you're done with your old life. Our lives, folks, as followers of Jesus, should so model Christ. I mean, to such a degree that there is a clear distinction between a believer and an unbeliever. And how many know I'm not talking about suits and ties? Nothing wrong with suits and ties. I'm not talking about, you know, collars buttoned all the way up or dresses down to the floor either. Or having your hair in a bun. We're not talking about the outward man. We're talking about the inward man. Needs to be so in line, so in union with Christ, that there is a clear distinction. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Where, Cliff, I think you were talking about where you came into, you know, your the circle of friends that you knew. And he just got born again. And as soon as he walked into the room, they say, what happened to you? There is a clear distinction now. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. We're not ready for life until we're ready to die. Amen? Until we're through with death. And so we've got to come to a place, folks, and I want to tell you that you'll never regret it, where we are totally committed to the way forward. How many are going to say yes to Jesus? How many even today say, yes, Lord?
Yes, Lord.
I'm ready to go with you. Colossians 3 and verse 3 says, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now, our Lord suffered indignities, reproaches, and persecutions for us. And so we've got to have the same mind, folks. We've got to look at it as this is something that we are called to. We are called to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow Him. Folks, I don't know about you, but it's the love of God that compels us to follow Jesus. Amen? It compels us to love people. It compels us to witness for Jesus. It compels us to live right. It's the love of God in our hearts. Because we understand God's commandment. The greatest commandment of it all is what? Love. It's love. When you love, you don't do anything to hurt people. You don't take advantage of your neighbor. Amen? You don't slander when you're walking in love. You don't cheat on your wife. You don't cheat on your husband when you walk in love. Love does no harm to his neighbor, amen? I wanted to give a... just share a quick story, and this is a true story, of someone that I met, and Chuck also knows who I'm talking about. His name is David. And I was, I don't know, maybe... 6 to 8 years, maybe 6 years into my walk with Jesus. And I'd already had experience of working with teenagers in Tacoma, and I've had some, you know, experiences that way. But we went to a very large church for a while, and I ran into this little bald-headed guy. I mean, just tiny, bald. Yeah. Well, tiny, tiny should be the, yeah. But you know, we judge by appearance. I know none of you have ever done that before, but I know I have. Isn't it true? We look at people and we label them just by appearance. A quick, oh, they must be like that because they look like that. Or, and we've all done that. And it is. And so, you look at this guy and you just think, well, he's just a, you know, just a little guy. He's dressed down. He's actually been living on the street. He was homeless. So, I just kind of like shook his hand and smiled. And I said a few words and it kind of prompted something. And all of a sudden this guy, he opens his mouth and he speaks and I'm blown away. I'm like, whoa. The wealth, the wisdom that came out of this guy blew me away. But by appearances, I just thought he was, you know, just this guy that's living on the street, you know, just a nobody. And, you know, of course, nobody's ever thought that way about anybody, but I'm just being honest today, all right? I love people. Don't get me wrong. But my first impression, and God taught me something about this, see? And we've all done it. And we can do it the other way around, too, you know. We can be judgmental about people that are in suit and ties, too. So we've got to be careful. Or people that are affluent. It happens both ways. The bottom line here is we're not to judge, right?
Right.
Let God judge. And the thing is you don't know who that... That could be an angel in disguise. And so I meet this guy, and he opens his mouth, blows me away. And then I said, I got to sit down and talk to this guy. I said, we got to get together. So I sat down and we started to talk. Come to find out, this guy had been an evangelist in the South, Alabama, in those areas. Had 27 churches that he did as a circuit. You know, And many souls to Christ, had a prophetic mantle on his life. And by talking to him, you can realize, even though he was a little bit maybe on the eccentric side and just a kind of different person, but by talking to him, I was like, wow. So, long story short, we got together and we started doing prison ministry. And I had already started doing it, and Chuck had been with me for a while during that time, and then he wanted to come, and so we brought him. Well, this guy just went full bore, and he started getting into all the places over there. McNeil Island, just different places, you know. And just a heart after God. God told this man, his wife died when his children were young. He had 5 kids, folks. He raised these kids by himself. And when the last child had grown, he gave what little he had left. God told him, I want you to give everything away, which wasn't much, but he gave everything away he had. And he said, take 2 duffel bags and move to Tacoma, Washington. So he moves to Tacoma, Washington, because he was a humble servant. And I want you to hear something today, because, again, people would walk by this guy and completely blow him off or ignore him or avoid him and not know who they had in their midst. He was a great man of God. I believe he's a great man of God. And yet he had such humility that he was willing to go even to live in the mission and to work with people on the street and to tell them, you know, about Jesus, to live among them even, to do it. 2 duffel bags, he goes, he's living. He got beat up. He had all kinds of things that happened to him. But he was out there for Jesus. And he was having church underneath the bridge, you know. A bunch of them coming out and having service, giving their life to Jesus. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, he was God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. You see, the problem we have is we're trying to make ourselves famous so often. It's about my reputation. It's about how I appear to men. And if we're not careful, we will allow the opinions of men to rob us from our call.
Absolutely.
Pursuing God and his call for our lives. Oh, Jesus. The greatest star of all. The greatest hero. Amen. The superhero of superheroes. Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. He said, I did not come to be served, but I came to serve. And he says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you're going to have to serve. You're going to have to be the servant of all. Do you want to be great in the kingdom? Amen. Don't look for titles. Don't look for position. Don't look for the acclaims of men. But look for the favor of God.
Amen.
You want the favor of God? Humble yourself and serve God by serving people.
Yeah.
Come on. Luke 22 and 24 says, there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you, speaking to the disciples. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater? Now listen. He who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table, right? Who's the greater? The one sitting at the table being served. Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Shifted everything, huh? That's not how we think. Is it not our pride that destroys so many people? Isn't that the pride of man, you know? Exalting ourselves above other people. Putting people down to build ourselves up. But when you take on the mind of Christ and you humble yourself and decide that I'm going to serve. Whether anybody recognizes you or not, they may walk by you and disregard you and not even shake your hand. People get upset because you don't shake their hand in church. Come on, it ain't about us. It's about the King and His mission. And you and I, as servants to the Most High God, and as we humble ourselves to serve the Lord in this life, to do whatever He tells us to do, the day is coming when we shall be exalted together with Christ. I don't know about you, but I want my treasure there. I want my name to be known in heaven. I want Jesus to say, I know who you are. I don't want Him to say, I don't know you. Because we loved. Because we loved to the degree, because we had union with He who is loved to the degree that we were willing to lay down our lives. We were willing to do whatever He told us to do, whether it looked prestigious or not. Whether it got noticed or not. So much of what we do is to be noticed, folks. Come on. I looked at the window, so I wasn't looking at anybody. I hate looking in the mirror some days, you know. Aren't you glad that somebody loved you? Amen. Everyone has been touched somewhere in life by love. Somebody loving you. Somebody who was selfless. Someone who was willing to go out of their way to touch you in your time of need. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world? That He laid everything aside, and I mean, He was in eternal glory, a glory beyond description, beyond our mind's comprehension. Jesus was in glory and laid it all aside to become not only a man but a servant, to serve the world. I am among you as one who serves. If you want to be great, serve. There are many opportunities, folks. Every day God is showing many of it. Even as I'm speaking, God is beginning to speak to some of you, and He's beginning to reveal to you some of the assignments that He's been giving you and you've been holding back. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that I say, God, I'm going to do what You called me to do. Whether I get noticed or not, I'm going to do what You tell me to do. How many know what's important is that God notices you? And often if a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. Even others will recognize you too when you're serving God and you're loving them. All right. It's getting quiet in here. Am I going too long? Or maybe I need to change the subject. No? We're almost through. Listen. Isaiah 53. This prophetic word describes the suffering servant, the Messiah. It's speaking of Jesus Christ. It says, I want you to hear this. Now, He is despised. That word despised means disesteemed, scorned, and rejected by men. A man of sorrows. That word sorrows means anguish, affliction, pain. He experienced these things. And acquainted with grief. That word grief means malady, disease, and sickness. Jesus knew what it was also to be sick. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Surely He has borne our griefs, our disease, our sickness, our malady, and carried our sorrows, our anguish, affliction, pain. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. That means He was dealt with harshly. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. He took punishment for our peace. He took our punishment. And by His stripes, we can be healed today. Hallelujah. Question to you today, have you been despised? Rejoice. Have you been rejected by men? Rejoice. Sorrowful, that means dealing with mental anguish. grief-stricken, dealt with harshly by others because of your stand for Christ, rejoice as you have been privileged to share in the sufferings of Christ. May this sink deep into your spirit. You have been privileged to suffer reproach for the name of Christ. Jesus said, leap for joy in that day. Amen. When they persecute you, when they cast you out for my name's sake, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, rejoice. Amen. Be exceeding glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Are we willing to say yes? Are we willing to say, I am ready to die? I am ready to die. I've made peace with God. I'm ready. Don't wait till your deathbed. Today is the day to make that decision, because when you position yourself with that mind that was in Christ, now you are ready to receive the call of God, and God will launch you. God will exalt you. Hallelujah, in His kingdom. Do you know that God wants to exalt you? Let me qualify that. God wants to qualify you. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, the authority to become what? The sons of God. God wants to exalt you. But you've got to get into position. And you get into position by coming to a resolve that I am ready to die to whatever I had envisioned for my life, whatever my plans and my agenda was. I'm ready to lay it down before Jesus and say, Lord, is this okay? If it's not, You tell me what You want. That's what I'm going to do. And those who serve will be greatest. Those who are willing to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow Him. We're in this all the way. But the end of all things, verse 7, 1 Peter 4, is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. Not in your own, but in His grace, you see. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yours, Lord. We need to lay down our lives, our agenda, our pride, and embrace the call of God to be totally committed to the way forward. Hallelujah.